What a great time in the presence of the Lord this morning, amen. Hope you guys are excited. I have a message for you today that hopefully, I think it went really well with all the testimonies and the things said. I feel God has got something that he wants to share with us this morning. And I just wonder if we could just kind of settle our hearts a little bit this morning before we get into that. I'd like if we could pray, if we could do that. Father, as we come into your word and your story, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you speak to us. Speak to us. Would you break down the walls inside of our hearts, the things that we've put up to keep things away? And Lord, sometimes, unfortunately, that means that we've kept you away in a lot of things in our lives. So with this, Lord, we ask that you would break down those walls, that you would help us, even myself, Lord, help us see something new. Help us be able to hear from you and be focused on you in your word. In Jesus' name, we all said,
amen.
Amen. He is good, isn't he? All the time. He is good. I wanted to, before we get started, I have a couple things written down to do. For starters, we have another new baby in our midst. Where are the Pierces? The Pierces, would you stand? Look at this little guy. And his name again? Julian. How cool is that? Julian. I wanted his name to be Joshua when they said it started with a J. I said, it's Joshua. And they're like, yeah, and the middle name's A. Josh Allen. Perfect, right? It's not Allen. It's Aaron. Is it Aaron? Ooh, I got the middle name, so I had it. So Julian Aaron Pierce. Awesome. Congratulations, y'all. We're so excited for you. That's awesome. The other thing I just want to let you know that, again, this Easter series that we've been doing leading up to Easter is called Redemption. We've taglined it that even the worst stories can have the best endings. The best thing, I think, is looking through all of Scripture and seeing people just as screwed up as you and I being able to come into redemption with the Lord. If you're ever feeling like an idiot, just turn to your Bible, flip a page, and you'll find somebody else who was too, and God used them. It's all over. It's everywhere. So we've been looking at how God's been taking these situations that looked like there could be nothing good that could come of it, and God ended up working everything out in such a way that he made good out of a bad situation. But today I want to talk to you about another redemption story that you probably have never thought about as a redemption story, and that is about the Apostle John. For a little backstory I'll give you if you don't know, John was a fisherman by trade, and he and his brother James decided to follow Jesus after he performed that miracle of the fish with Peter. John had a pretty cool nickname too, Son of Thunder. I love that looking at it, just like that, it sounds like a WWE wrestling name. John and James, Sons of Thunder. And it's like the tag team that go in. And I just picture that. But the truth is, the Sons of Thunder, they got that because they had a really bad attitude. When they wanted to go somewhere, people were blocking the way. They said to Jesus, should we call down fire on them? And Jesus is like, dude, what are you talking about? So they earned the name Sons of Thunder, for a bad thing. But later we see an attitude change in John's heart, and suddenly he's given the name John the Beloved, or John the one whom Jesus loved. This isn't the redemption story that I'm focusing on this morning, but you can see a really cool transformation from being a son of thunder to being John the Beloved. How cool is that? After his death, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension to heaven, we see John's involvement in the book of Acts. He was preaching, he was teaching, he was so trusted by the other disciples that they sent him to Samaria to check on different churches. He was even briefly thrown into prison for a while. In Acts, we see that. Now, after Acts 8, we don't really see a lot about John. We don't hear about him. Some scholars and theologians believe that John was the one who cared for Mary, Jesus's mother, that he cared for her for the remaining years of her life. John, he was a brilliant author, and again, we don't see him after Acts 8:17 when he went to Samaria, but we see it in Galatians that he continued to exercise significant church leadership. and he was called the pillar of the church. And then he authored 5 books in the New Testament. Now, if you take it just from here and you're looking at John's life, you probably think, man, it seems like everything worked out pretty well for John. Like, you know, he got to, in the ender, you know, for the majority of his life, he was teaching and preaching. He was taking care of Jesus' mom. How cool would that be? However, today, I'm sorry to tell you that in life, not everything always goes the way you want. So if you could write this down as point number 1, Patmos happens. Patmos happens. I'll get to that in just a second. Some of you already know where I'm going. If you got your Bibles, go with me to Revelation 1:9. Revelation 1:9 is the last book in the Bible. And here we're going to read, this is John now telling us that he's writing this book. And here he is in verse 9. He says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and patient endurance that are all ours in Jesus. Amen. Patience and endurance is with you in Jesus. Did you not know that? So here he is, even though he's suffering, he says, was on the island of Patmos because the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So here in the beginning of this book, we see John is on this island of Patmos. This is what he's telling us right here in verse 9, and he's on the island. Now, what he doesn't tell you, and I'm going to let you know, is he's in his 90s at this point. He's a 90-year-old prisoner on an island. It wasn't an island for retirement. It wasn't like John's kicking back in his easy chair. He's in a Corona commercial with Snoop Dogg and Tony Romo putting his feet in the sand, you know, living out his life as I'm sure many of us would like to on a beach. But this beach wasn't like this. This wasn't a fun place. This was basically a Roman prison island. It was surrounded with water completely. It was completely exiled away from society. And it was a place that they sent criminals. The only place that, like, you could look at this and a little bit more modern would be Australia, right? Australia is where they came and they dumped off people that weren't fit for society. They wanted to get them out from society and get them away from everyone else. So you might be asking, how did John find himself on this island of Patmos? He's on this prison island. How did it happen? So late in the first century, the Apostle John was living in the area of Ephesus, and he was preaching the gospel. While he was doing this, he was preaching scriptures. He helped lead the church. And many historians maintain that he wrote his gospel and his 3 epistles while in Ephesus. I just want to say this real briefly. He wasn't very creative with his first 4 titles. It was John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Okay, so he wasn't, you know, he didn't have any really cool names for his books, but those are there. And if you know anything about Ephesus, you'll know that there was a lot of pagan worship that was taking place. And as you can imagine, John didn't like that. John opposed that. It didn't sit well, though, with the Roman Empire, especially the Roman Emperor Domitian. This man Domitian was a bad dude. He was known for being a violent madman who would kill and persecute Christians. So Domitian was also a believer in, like, what they call prophetic omens. So he was one of the few emperors that called himself a god during his reign. So in about 86 AD, the Temple of Domitian, there was a Temple of Domitian that was built in Ephesus to try to get people to worship Domitian. Does this make sense to everybody? Yeah. And can you imagine that John didn't like that, that he opposed those things? So the Roman Empire, Caesar and all of them, especially I'm sure it came from people that were upset with John, that were tattling on him, then Domitian gets involved. And Domitian, at this point, sends him away to the island of Patmos to rot away and, most importantly, keep quiet. Don't want him to talk. I want to say this just for this point, that there's many sources that say that Domitian also tried to boil him in oil and drink poison. And when it didn't work, because he has this omen thing going on that he kind of got freaked out, I think he was like, you know what, he lived through those 2 things. Let's send him away to the island just so that he'll be silent and stay away from society. So think about it for a moment. You're an old man. You're in your 90s. You're left on a remote island, left to die. There's no prison cafeterias here. There's no dormitory. This prison is forested rock in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And all I can imagine is that boat pulled up. He was sitting there thinking, this is the place where I'm going to die. This is my tomb. I'm 90-something years old. Here it is. I'm going. This will be my tomb. But what he didn't realize is that Jesus didn't see it that way. That God didn't look at it as a place of death. He looked at it as a place of opportunity. And I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but it was mentioned here with our brother this morning. I want to tell you, sometimes in life, Patmos happens. Things happen. Things that you wish didn't happen still happen. Yesterday, for example, two days ago, my daughter and I went to the Sabres game. And my plan in my head, you know how you get these, right? Is we'll get there 2 hours early, we'll go get something to eat, and we'll go in. We get there 2 hours early. Everything's going as planned. We go to the first place, and it's a sea of people, and everybody's scurrying around. And I'm like, excuse me, I was just wondering how long the wait was. And this lady pipes in next to me. She's like, we've been waiting 15 minutes just to find out. And I said, okay. So we turned out, and we went to the next place. That place, full, not taking any more seats. The next place, two-hour wait. I said, this is never going to happen. And poor little Audrey's like, you know, she's just following me down the streets of Buffalo, walking all over the place, trying to find some food. And I, you know, again, Patmos happens. Things happen in life that you didn't think would happen. But I believe this. I want you to realize that just because you find yourself in a moment of a Patmos life does not mean that you did anything wrong. Somebody needs to hear that. Just because you find yourself in a Patmos life where things are not going the way you wanted doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. You could have done everything right. You could have been following God, living for Him, treating other people with love, speaking truth and love, but then you find yourself in a Patmos. You find yourself asking, what happened? How did I get here? Yes, sometimes, I will say, sometimes you find yourself in a Patmos because of your own actions, right? We've all been there. But sometimes you just did nothing wrong, and that still happens. But I want you to know this. Just because you find yourself in Patmos reasons does not mean that God's mad at you. Sometimes we think, God, you're punishing me. You've done this. What have I done wrong? Listen, John didn't do anything wrong, and he found himself in a Patmos moment. I also want you to know that was mentioned earlier, is that you're not alone. Just because you're there does not mean you're alone. See, what I love the most is John knows this the best because he wrote it in his gospel. He wrote the words of Jesus in John 16:33. He says, this is Jesus' words, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Not you won't, not maybe, kind of, you will, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I believe John understood that Patmos happens, that these things happen in life. And I believe he understood that, even though they didn't go the way that he wanted to go, he knew that God was with him on Patmos. It reminds me of the words that God spoke to the prophet Isaiah. When you start to think of your life in these ways, then things change. Here's what it says in Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, just think of that, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, I believe God is saying in this, I agree with you. I agree with you basically on nothing. You're down here. I'm up here. You're seeing things from an earthly level, only burnt, that's it. I'm up here. I know what I can see. I know where you are, and I know where I'm going to take you. Somebody needs to realize this morning that he doesn't see things from your perspective. We get stuck in our own perspective. We get stuck in our own earthly outlook. That's why I always encourage people, don't go to the people who aren't Christians who are also looking at things from a natural level. When you're in these Patmos moments, go to Christians who know that there's someone that has a higher level, that somebody has a different perspective, a different view. Because when you go to the world, young people, listen to me. This is for you too. Stop going to your non-Christian friends for advice. They're not helping you at all. Hey, that's for adults too, y'all. Stop. Just stop it. They don't have the answers. You do, right? You do. Maybe you didn't know that. God sees our trials from a heavenly perspective. He sees what's beyond the curve. He sees what's beyond the mountain. When you're looking at this thing, he knows where you are, and he's not worried about it because Patmos happens. In this world, you will have trouble, but do not fear. I have overcome the world. He's already told you that. So sometimes we just got to get our minds ready and be like, things are not going to go the way I planned today. That's okay. He's with me. Amen? But that brings me to number two. While you're in your Patmos season of your life, remain in the Spirit. Remain in the Spirit. Look to your neighbor, say, remain in the Spirit. See, while John was sitting under this, I'm sure he was like in a shanty somewhere on an island, he said something so powerful in Revelation 1:10. Something so powerful. If you got your Bibles, your apps, or whatever you got, highlight this. In Revelation 1:10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Something so small that if you read it too fast, you miss it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I believe that John's patience, his practice, was to get into the Spirit every day, but on this occasion, it happened on the Lord's Day. Let's break that down. What is the Lord's Day? It's the resurrection day. It's Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. We know that's Sunday. And for us, right, every Sunday is like Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to be even take it a little step further. Every day should be like Resurrection Sunday. John is meditating here on this island. He is meditating on the Lord's day of resurrection, and I think it's safe to say that he's focusing on the risen Christ. I want to be very careful here. I know we celebrate Good Friday, and that's awesome because we have to remember that. But when I reflect back and I want to meditate on the Lord, I'm meditating on the resurrected Jesus, not just the crucified Jesus. I want to remember what the crucified Jesus, but I know and I worship the resurrected Jesus. Amen? On the power, he's sitting here and he's thinking about the risen Christ, on the power of his resurrection, the overflowing life that only comes through Jesus is what he is focusing on. But let's be real. John isn't feeling it right now. There is no way. I mean, for starters, he's an old man. He's not feeling the resurrection power in his body. He's 90 years old. His body wasn't radiating with life. It was complaining to him. How many of you got bodies that complain to you all the time? I got this knee, and it's every walk, every step I take, it's like, help me, help me, help me. He's 90-something years old. He had aches and pains everywhere. I'm sure he didn't have Tylenol to pop in. Oh, I just got to get my Tylenol. He probably wasn't sleeping well. I mean, I don't know. I would have tried to make a mattress. Probably wouldn't have turned out great, but that's what I would try. He probably stunk real bad. His clothes were dirty and worn out. He probably reeked of BO. But even more than that, I bet you he was super hungry. Super hungry. Well, again, there's no place where he can go, hello, can I please get some mash or something? He's got to fend for himself, find his own food in his 90s. And I say all of that to say, in regards to his five senses, he wasn't feeling connection to God and his resurrection power. He wasn't physically feeling it. His body was in pain, he was lonely, and he probably felt like he was carrying this sentence of death. But despite how he feels, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was worshiping even though he had no worship band to help him. He was loving the Lord, although it looks like his prayers that he had been sending up, at least the answers, had been silent. And he was meditating on the resurrection power of Christ, even though none of that power was felt personally to him in a tangible way. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. See, when you're in the Spirit on the Lord's day, you realize that God is with you. Oh, you are in the Spirit on the Lord's day because you know he's with you. It reminds me, I told you we took Audrey to the Sabres game. I took her to it. And you know how it goes when you're coming in and out. There's a lot of people. And it's scary when you are this tall and everybody else is, you know, feet taller than you and you can't see anything. And it reminded me of how it feels when you're in a stressful situation. You feel overwhelmed. You just feel like so much going on. But what did she do? She reached out to grab my hand. Because when she held my hand, there's security in holding my hand. There's knowing that I'm with her when she holds my hand. There's knowing that if something happens, I'll protect her and she won't get lost because I'm with her. So maybe you feel like you're 100 miles between you and your promised land. Maybe you feel like the territory you are in right now is a Patmos feeling, and you feel like, I just don't know what's happening. I don't know what to happen. You probably feel like John right now. You probably have great theology and a firm faith in the Lord. However, some things maybe aren't working for you. I want to tell you, remain in the Spirit. Remain in the Spirit, because even though things weren't working out for him, it didn't keep him from going to the Lord. He still got in the Spirit. He still surrounded himself in the presence of the Lord during a difficult time. I want to say this, God's with you, but you can choose not to be with God. You have, like, remember I said over the summer, it's like we have a job and God's got a job. It's like God's job, he's with you, but you can push him away and pretend like he's not there. You can separate yourself and put up walls and say, God, I don't see you in this. But he's in it, whether you see it or not. And that moves me to number three. God is unstoppable. I love the songs Scott picked out. He gave them to me on Friday. I'm like, this is perfect. This is awesome. The Emperor Domitian that I told you about banished John to silence him. But little did he know that he actually gave John a megaphone. See, John decided to do his prison from his spirit. Let me explain. He didn't do prison from his emotions. Why is this happening to me? I can't believe I shouldn't be here. Why am I there? Yeah, we've been there. He didn't do that through his emotions. And he didn't do it from his heart or his head knowledge. He wasn't trying to figure it out and try to get off the island. That was not where his focus was. It was not in the flesh. It was in his spirit. He decided to do this prison from his spirit, not his flesh. See, you can't stop this. You can't. The enemy can't stop a person who does his prison from his spirit. Maybe you could be banished from civilization, but you cannot be banished from the throne of God. When you decide to put you're operating now through your spirit and you're joining with him in the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 6:17. He says, but he who is joined in the Lord is one spirit with him. You are one with him. See, in the spirit, John was in the intimacy and the faith to Christ. In the spirit, there's unlimited Holy Spirit. In the spirit, there's unstoppable Holy Spirit. There's unrestricted Holy Spirit, unhindered Holy Spirit, unconfined Holy Spirit, uncontainable Holy Spirit. You might be chained, but God will not allow himself to be chained. He can't be chained. You might be chained, but he can't be chained. So when you are aligning yourself with him and you're saying, God, you're unstoppable. I am going to make my prison through you in spirit. You can't be stopped because you're with God and you're one with the Lord. Now listen, that's not your plan. It's his plan. We'll get there. Come on, y'all. The enemy wants to tell you that he's stoppable. Because sometimes you're thinking, well, what if? No, there is no what if. This dude's on an island by himself, totally stripped away from society, and God moved. Because he has no limits. No limits means no limitations. That means no distance limitations, no spatial limitations, no resource or financial or power limitations. You might think you're not in power. We do this all the time. Well, we're just a small church and we don't have any power. You have incredible power because you're connected to the power of God. Listen, when you're in the Spirit of God, you can go anywhere and you can do anything that God has asked you to do. Even if you're on an island. Finally, I want to do this one with you. Number four. I'm keeping you on your heels this morning, all right? Number four. It's not a tomb. It's a womb. It's not a tomb, it's a womb. That comes from one of our favorite authors and where I got a lot of this from, Bob Sorge. What I want to break it down to you is, from an earthly point of view, it appeared that it was over for John. All of us in this room, if we were thinking of it from an earthly point of view, and somebody that was in their 90s, let's say Lorraine Michael, I'm sorry you're going to prison of the island of Patmos. Also, you got boiled in oil. I'm sorry about that. And you're in your 90s, so you're going to this island. I think we could all agree that it's not the Pines, but it's the Pines, right? Come on, think about yourself. In your 90s, you're going to an island. It looks like a tomb. This is where I'm going to go die today. It appeared it was a tomb that would end his life. But God didn't see it as a tomb. God saw it as a womb to birth his word to the seven churches and ultimately to us. If you continue reading in Revelation 1, you'll see that Jesus showed up to John on that prison island in the flesh. John describes the voice like a loud trumpet, and he gives John the vision for the church, and we know this as the book of Revelation. I jokingly said to Jeff, maybe God allowed him to go there so that he would come up with a better title except for John 4, right? First John, Second John, Third John, Fourth. No, you're going to Patmos. Okay, Revelation. All right, here we are. See, what seemed like the lowest point in John's life was used by God to bring forth one of the most powerful books of the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote in Romans 8:28, you probably know this from heart, he says, and we know that all things that God works out for the good for those who love him and who have called according to his purpose. Everybody forgets his purpose. We like to think that he's going to work everything out the way we want to work out. But again, he's on a higher level. We're down here. He can see everything. We can't. The truth is that God works out all things according to his purposes. And when you're in his will and you're connected to him, you are a part of his will. What we want to get to, listen, we want to get to the point where our will turns into, actually, I'm adopting God's will. That is my will. I want his will for my life. I want his will for your life. I don't want my will for your life or my will for my own life. It's a tomb. Nope, it's a womb. The Roman government thought that John was so dangerous that he had so much influence with people. But what they didn't realize is that John had influence with God. And the truth is, true wisdom pursues the influence of God, not man. John even said it in his gospel in John 5:44. He said, "Why would you seek the honor of people when you can seek the honor that comes from God?" The most powerful government on the face of the planet at this time tried to close the door on John, but God pulled it wide open. To give you a baseball analogy, John was about to strike out here. It looked like it. Strike two, he's not doing good. And they threw that last pitch and he hit a grand slam walk-off. I love that. Because every time the enemy thinks that he's sending us to a tomb, God says, actually, I'm going to use that for my purposes. That's a womb that I'm going to birth things out of. Because of John's faith and obedience, because John submitted and was connected himself to the Lord, he got that grand slam. I don't know where you're at this morning, but maybe you feel like you're in a place of Patmos. Maybe you feel like you're in this place where everything looks bad, like it looks like your tomb. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he doesn't see it as a tomb. He sees it as a womb. Pastor Scott, would you come? I wanted to spend some time here at the end with you, and I was thinking this. Have you ever watched Men in Black? And they got that device that and it erases your memory and makes you forget everything. I feel as if the Lord wants to do that for some of us today. Because there's things that you are holding, that I'm holding, things that we're holding, memories, things that are holding us back, things that make us think, you know, oh, it's going to be like this again. Oh. I feel like the Lord wants to do that Men in Black thing and erase all those hurts and those pains and all that stuff that you've had. Because maybe some of you are, you feel like you're on that island, you're on that Patmos island, and you feel all alone, and you feel like, listen, he's with you. Patmos happens, but when we get in the Spirit, when we remain in the Spirit, we are connected to him, and it's a good thing we're connected to him, because God is unstoppable. And when we do these things, he can turn our tombs into wombs. He can turn what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. Do we believe that, or do we just sing that because it's words on the screen? Do you believe it in your heart, but is there still things inside of you that need to get wiped? And you're thinking, but what if this happened? And what if this person comes into power? And what if China takes over the world? Guess what? Nothing can stop them. Your biggest fears, nothing can stop God. He is unstoppable. The tomb that you're in right now is not a tomb. I want to just pray this over you. And maybe you're here today, just raise your hands. Maybe you could stand, whatever it is. The tomb you're in is not a tomb. It's a womb. God has you here, not because he doesn't like you, not because he hates you, not because you did something wrong. Sometimes we're just in the Patmos thing. We're in the moment. But he says, oh, don't worry. The enemy meant this for evil, but I meant it for good. Don't worry, even when you feel like I'm not working, even when you feel like I'm not doing anything, remain in me and you will be connected to me. I believe that the Lord wants to speak this to somebody this morning, that you've been doing this thing on your own for far too long. You've been like that little kid at a Sabres game, looking around and just being overwhelmed. And I believe that the Lord is here today saying, it's time for you to take my hand. It's time for you to take my hand. If you have never said yes to Jesus and said, God, I want to follow you, listen, let me tell you, the best part of it is you're not alone. He is with you. So right now, if you're in that place and you feel, if you've never said yes to Jesus and you've never been there, let me tell you, there is life, there's security, there is hope, there's love, there's acceptance, there's also challenging and growth. It's everything you could ever want, and it's everything the enemy says you don't need. So, Father, here we are today. I'm speaking specifically to those of you who have never said yes to Jesus. Now's the time to grab his hand. Now's the time to hold your heavenly Father's hand and to get some help while you're on this Patmos. To get some help while you're here, because he can take something that looks like a death sentence and turn it into a womb. What is God trying to do with you right now? Let's just say, if you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, just you can say these words. It's very simple. In your own heart, you can say them, you can whisper them, whatever you want to do. You can yell them. I'd love if you yelled them. But dear Jesus, I know I've screwed up in my life, but Lord, I'm grabbing your hand. And I want you, Lord, to lead me and guide me and to be with me, be the King and the Lord of my life, be the dad of my life, because I'm in this Patmos, I'm in this crazy, overwhelming situation like a Sabres game, and I'm only 3'5". God, we need you. You can see things higher than we can see them. You are so much, you're like Ben and Lisette Heckathorn when we're like the 3-foot, you know, 7-year-old kid. You can see things from a higher advantage, and we want to connect with you. So if you've done that today, if you've said, Jesus, yes, I've screwed up, will you forgive me? But Lord, I want to follow you, and I want you to rule my life. If you've done that, you are now a citizen of heaven. You are now in the kingdom of God. You can now access his spirit and remain in his spirit. You can do that day after day. When you're sitting there at work and you just got written up, he's there for you. When you and your spouse are fighting, he's there for you. When you lose your job, he's there for you. And when the whole world says, do this, this, and this, you can say, no, I'm holding the hand of my Father and I'm doing what he said. I want to welcome you into the house of God. I want to welcome you into this. We're all screwed up. You may have said, hey, what's going on with all these Christians? They're a bunch of screw-ups. Yep, we are, but we're connected to him, and we're trying our best to do what he says. I just want to say I welcome you. But for the rest of us here, you know, we need reminders. We need reminders. And I believe that God has ordained this day to be a reminder for some of us here in this room. That if you're in a Patmos thing, that if you're in that, first of all, he is not mad at you. He loves you, and he is with you, and he will be with you. But number two, that you need to remain connected to him. When you get distracted, stay connected to him. When you're wondering what to do, focus like John did. Focus on the resurrection. Focus on his power. Because he's unstoppable. He cannot be moved. He can do whatever he wants and when he wants. He can turn your tomb into a womb. He doesn't see things the way you do, and that's why we're holding his hand. So, Father, we just thank you again for this revelation. We thank you again for this amazing thing you did in history, again, just to show us of how great you are, how wonderful you are. I think about how amazing it is that John is the only disciple that they say had died of natural consequences, not on a stake. And some even said that he left that island later on. Lord, whatever it is, we trust you. And we trust that you are going to make it for your good, and you're with us through it all. You are so good to us, and we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.